praise God. Bless you tonight. Thanks to the musicians. It has the potential to really be such a springboard for us to see greater things, because I'm going to tell you this, the preacher, the evangelist, preached straight, hard, and true.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us that we are in a specific place, a particular place, and he expressed the fact that he had a burden for us, knowing where we are, knowing where the Lord is trying to take us to, knowing what's ahead of us, all of these things that are at play for us to try to do something for God. You know, here we are, we're trying to be a part of a building of something big, so much bigger than ourselves. And we understand that we're going to have to give ourselves more to God than we ever have before. And so we felt the pleading of the Holy Ghost. And I'm thankful for everyone that did respond to the pleading of the Holy Ghost. We had full altar. We had a touch of the Holy Ghost in this place. And I'm telling you, do not take it for granted. Do not take it for granted. Do not take it for granted. But be thankful for the Lord to pay us the visitation and to speak to us and to minister to us in such a crucial and key way, in the way that we need so desperately in the last hour. Because I do believe we're living in the last hour. Praise God. I want to turn your attention to the book of Acts, the 4th chapter. I really wrestled with this today as to the timing, as to whether or not this is the time. But the Lord really has laid this on me, and I feel like going ahead and delivering my soul on this. And so with that, Acts chapter 4 and verse 8 says this: Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said to them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it made known unto you all and for all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised up from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of the builders, which has become head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Verse 13 is really where I want to focus and preach. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. They took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I cannot minister this without your help, Lord. I'm just here, Lord, as a willing vessel, but I understand my limitations in my flesh. I understand, God, that I need to take a step up, and that's what I'm going to preach about today, Lord. And I ask that you will anoint these lips of clay, anoint this congregation. Give us a touch. Give us a touch. Give us a blessing. We need you today, Lord. We need you to speak to us so desperately in this last hour. We desperately need you to speak to our hearts. Lord, the preacher preached to us, oh God, but it cannot end there. It must not end there. That must be just a highlight, oh God, but we must hear continually from you in the throne of God. I pray it in Jesus' name. You may be seated. I want to preach about divine influence. Divine influence. I'm going to start this message off by making a confession. Have you ever had a moment that you just, something dawned on you and you realized and you recognized something that was true going on around you or maybe involved in your life, and it was almost like you just didn't see it until it just quickly dawned on you and it really got your attention, and you saw it and you began to pray and you began to call on God and you said, Lord, I recognize what you're talking to me about. I recognize what I'm seeing in your word and in what's going on in my life. And Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to let me make sure that this marinates in my spirit and in my soul, that it impacts my life. If there ever was a time that we need preaching and teaching in every aspect of the Word of God to impact our life, it's right now. If there ever was a time that we need to hear the voice of God in the midst of all the other voices, we need to hear the voice of God. I've got a message about the voice of God, but that's not where I'm preaching today. But I do feel the need to tell you that we need to hear the voice of God like we have never heard the voice of God. I refuse to believe that God is silent in this day, at this moment, at this time, with everything that's going on in our world. I refuse to believe that God is silent. Why? Because God has always gave warnings before major events and things took place. And the Bible says, ye that have an ear, let it hear what the Spirit says to the church. I'm convinced that the Lord is still speaking, but the question is, are we tuned in? Are we listening to hear what the Lord is saying?
Amen.
But something dawned on me. Something really hit me. And as a matter of fact, I was on my job. I was working. It really hit me. The fact that, you know, the people that I work with, and I will say this, I've had different experiences that you probably had too, with how people respond to you and how they react to you and how they treat you. It's probably varied from situation to situation, and so it has with me. And so I've had people that pull away, and I've had people that I could talk to and really minister to, and it's always kind of varied. But it was like the Lord just caused me to have an awareness of a particular thing going on. And that thing is this. I've got people that I work with, and they respect me enough in my walk with God enough that if they are showing a video they shouldn't show that's not right, if they were to tell a joke, they know that I will not stand there for it. I will walk away. But then it hit me, a realization. While that is true, on the other hand, they say things around me that in past times, I've had other people that say, you know, that it's like the Spirit of the Lord convicts them, mm-hmm. and they catch themselves, and they say, I'm sorry.
Yep.
I shouldn't have said that.
Right.
There's a conviction. Let me tell you something, folks. We are an influence on this world. You might say, well, I'm not all that talkative. I don't talk a lot, but you are still an influence. And so, to me, it began to trouble me and bother me because I got to thinking that they say all manner of all kinds of words and they'll cuss around me. And I'm just being honest with you. You know, there's times that this is a human part of failing on my part. And I'm going to be honest with you. And I'm going to come clean with you today and repent before God over it and say that there's been times. And what's happened is, partly I believe the reason why is because my nature is partly my nature is to say, hey, I want you to be comfortable around me. I want you to like me. I want you to not feel uncomfortable when I'm around you because I want to spend time. I want to get to know you. I want to find a way to be a blessing. But the reality is, there are times when they should, when they say these things, that they should be pierced to the heart. And I got to thinking about it and praying about it. I said, Lord, we're not really having that kind of a thing. And I'm going to put it on me. I'm going to recognize that the problem and the issue is, if the, we read it just a few minutes ago. They took note that they had been with Jesus.
Yep.
Now, Lord, you know I've been with you, but I need to step my game up. I need to put myself more in a place that when I am around them and in their presence, that they feel something when they are near me. And it's either going to draw them or it's going to have some kind of a reaction.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Right. Now, I'm here to preach to you honestly today. I'm not here to cover up. I'm not here to try to pretend I'm something that I'm not. I'm here to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm here to say, Lord, I want to be the person that I should be, the child of God that I should be, Lord. Because it's not right that they would be comfortable.
Amen.
And not feel conviction. Now, I can't make them do anything, but I can perceive whether or not that they're uncomfortable when they're saying these things around me. And it should bother them, and it should bother me. But the problem is, we're living in an old, unregenerated world. A world that cusses and makes all kinds of claims, lies, and everything else. And my Bible tells me that Lot was affected by his world. I do not want to be affected by this world. I want to be affected by that world. I said I don't want to be affected by this world. I want to be affected by that world. So I began to tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to make up my mind. I'm going to spend more time in your presence because you've got to help me, Lord. They've got to feel the divine touch. Hallelujah. I've got to be a divine influence in this world. You're not all that comfortable in doing, but you can be a divine influence that's so desperately needed. We need divine influencers in this world.
Amen.
Now, it's more wonderful and more blessed to be a witness. We are called. Isn't this one thing I love about living for God? He doesn't expect you to do anything more than what He's called you to do as a child of God is to be one thing, and that's simply a witness. You should know the Word of God that you're not deceived, and you have the Word of God to bless you and help you and know what how to live your life. But nobody's calling you to be a great scholar in the Word of God. But we can be a witness. I don't find that they did anything more, but they just said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me show you Jesus. Let me do something for you to see Jesus. That's what the goal is. That's what I'm desiring. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somewhere I can be a divine influence, and I sometimes can just my mere presence. Let me tell you something. When this old church, when this church is out of this world, if you think things are out of order now, if you think things are messed up now, when the church is no longer the restraint,
amen.
And the divine influence is gone. If you think things are bad now, you don't have a clue what's coming. I heard a preacher preach many years ago, and he got a hold of my soul. He said, one day, the darkness will be upon this earth. And it's going to be horrific. He began to enumerate the things that would take place in this old world and the horrible things that would take place. Because there's no restraint any longer. I got a question that I ask myself. And I got a question that I've come to preach to you today. And it's a serious question. Is hell comfortable with you? Is hell comfortable with you? Is hell really not all that troubled when we're around? Is hell really kind of just okay with us because he knows, the devil knows, and the demonic spirits knows that we're not really there to cause trouble. We just want to play it cool. We want to play it nice and want to be liked and want to be loved. My Bible tells me that all that live godly shall suffer persecution.
Yep.
It's not about being liked. And so that really got to me when I began to recognize and realize, Lord, there's something there that I've got to get a hold of in myself, because I have to be what you've called me to be. I've got to be a divine influence. It's not just enough to be an influence. And I try to be a godly influence in the church, but it's not enough. On my job, in everywhere I go, I must be a divine influence and ambassador for Christ. That's what He's called us to do. And look with me on the St. Mark chapter 9. St. Mark 9, verse 43. This is very interesting how this shakes out. I want you to notice this. Verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, for it is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, for everyone shall be... Now, watch this, verse 49. Because here's the interesting thing. It seems to me almost like this is in misplaced. He's given a great dissertation about the tragedy and the reality of hell. But then he starts talking about salt in the midst of it. And he says, for everyone that is salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost its saltiness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace with one another. Interesting that he would go from talking about hell to mentioning salt. Where is the correlation? There's got to be a correlation as to why that he would start talking about that. But I'm here to tell you that saltiness is what is needed in the church more than any other thing. Come on, I'm preaching about a divine influence. You and I will never have a divine influence in this world until we are salty. And if we lose our saltiness, if we become useless, if we become unable to affect lives, then we are not going to be fit for anything. We're not valuable to the kingdom. We're not valuable to what God's trying to do. So I'm preaching today, it's time to take a good look at ourselves and say, oh God, is hell too comfortable with me? Am I, oh Lord, as salty as I need to be? I need to be salty, Lord, for you. I need to check myself. Sometimes it's not a matter of no salt at all. Sometimes it's just we're not salty enough.
Amen.
You say salt, well, that salt will bring about a reaction one way or another. There's two things about salt. Number one, it seasons. It seasons. And I'm here to tell you that what we need in this day and this hour, we need our conversations. The Bible says this. We need our conversations seasoned. We need it when we talk to people, it is seasoned. Hallelujah. That it's having an impact.
Right.
And of course, the other thing is, it's a preservative. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that we are needing to not only be a season, not only to help people, but by helping other people and preaching and teaching and believing and living in the Word of God, we're not only helping them, but we are preserving our own self.
Right.
We are preserving our spirituality with the saltiness. We need that saltiness in our lives. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about, let me bring about a little clarity today. I'm not talking about being confrontational. You don't have to be confrontational. I'm talking about an influence. It's not necessarily that you're saying anything. You ain't got to make a scene. You ain't got to be somebody that's causing to be looked at some self-righteous individual. But they know that you are full of salt. They recognize the King of Glory, that you've been with Jesus. And it's having an impact in their spirit. It's having an impact in their mind. And they can't deny it. They know something about Jesus enough to know that the supernatural is in you. We have the Holy Ghost. It's more than just talking in tongues.
Amen.
I said it's more than just talking in tongues. That's just the initial evidence that we've received it. But we've received power. Power to be a witness. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here's the thing. You know what happens to salt? Our salt, if we lose our saltiness, we still have that salt there. It's still present. The problem is, it has no value. It has no potency. And here's what we see in St. Luke, the 18th chapter. I won't be real long. St. Luke 18. Verse 10. The temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed within himself, saying, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as the publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not even so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that the man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The problem was that this individual that thought that he was so good, he was so righteous, he had his act together, but the reality was there was no salt there. All when what I'm trying to tell you is, at the end of the day, that salt that you used to have, if you live for God, if you're not careful, the Bible says, what good is it? It's only good to be trodden to the under the foot of man. It's worthless. And so it was that self-righteousness, I said self-righteousness, is worthless. It has no value. It has no good. And this man found himself in the position of looking down on somebody. God has not called us to look down on anybody, but God has called us to lead with a spirit of repentance. A spirit of repentance. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And to be salty. I'm here to tell you that my greatest days I've ever had living for God are the days that the salty tears coursed down my cheeks, and I recognized how my need of God, and I was not full of my own thoughts about who I was, nor full of delusions about what I was, but I said, Lord, I need you desperately. I need you. I know my sinking flesh. I know my sinking way. I've got to be salty, not full of self-deceit, nor full of self-righteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because if we're salty, when the Spirit comes in, we're going to be able to influence them.
Amen.
We're going to be able to encourage them. We're going to be able to help them. We're going to be able to minister to them. And we don't know what's going to come in those doors. We can end up with a revival that we're praying for, and there may no telling how their life is messed up. And I don't want them to sit down to somebody and say,
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say, I'm like you. I don't like this kind of preaching either because I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. I've got to be soft.
Amen.
And my flesh don't like it either. I said my flesh doesn't coddle up to it either. But I would rather hear the Word of God. I would rather be challenged by the Word of God to be better, to live more holy, to live more consecrated, to live more dedicated, so that this world knows that there's a God divine influence in their life. The one thing that I don't want the world to know that's around me is to think that there's not a divine influence, that there's no God, that they can reach out and touch somebody in their life that knows God and they need so desperately a divine intervention.
Amen.
Because they need a divine influence.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus said this, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. What does that mean? He's telling us you're going to have to occupy the place that you are designed by victory and the power of God to occupy.
Right.
Let me tell you something. If you don't occupy the devil's territory, he's going to occupy yours. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please hear me when I tell you. If you don't occupy hell's territory, because the Bible said, for the gates of hell shall not prevail.
Amen.
It can't stop it. It can't stop it. It can't stop it. We are supposed to occupy His territory.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. You look at Israel, all we got to do is always look at natural Israel. Mm-hmm. Israel does not have the borders that they were promised by God.
Nope, they're gone.
And because they're not able, they're not, or for whatever reason, however you want to look at it, their fault or some other way, I think it's their fault, but that's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But because they're not occupying their territory of what was promised, they've got enemies in their backyard.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if we don't get what I'm preaching tonight, we're going to have enemies so close to us in our backyard because they will occupy what you don't.
Amen.
They will occupy what you don't. Praise God. We need salt. Well, where do we get it? The good news is you can always get salt where you found it originally. Because the reason that you have salt in you through the Spirit of God, it's not because I'm anything. It didn't come by flesh. It's not, you're not going to go back and get it through flesh. The only way that you can get the salt that I'm talking about is you've got to get it in the same place that you got it when you first repented.
Amen.
That's where you get the salt. The salt is worthless. My Bible tells me that it has to be thrown out. You got to get this. The Bible said it's not good for anything but to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of men. Here's the problem. It's when you and I try to add salt. Try to add salt on the salt that we have inside of us that we have not divested ourselves of. We've got to get rid of the old self-righteous salt and get a purity in us. And I'm here to tell you, this altar is a salt receptacle, an old salt receptacle. Hallelujah, I said this altars are an old salt receptacle. It doesn't just have to be here, but you have to have an altar at home that is a salt receptacle that you can pour out of the old salt and allow the Holy Ghost to put in the new salt. Because here's what the Bible said. The Bible said that salt won't work. You can't revive that salt. You can't bring that salt back. It's not coming back to the power that it was. The Bible said it's no good, but you've got to rid of and try it in the foot of men.
Amen.
So you've got to get in the new salt. Hallelujah. The only way we're going to get new salt is by the altar and by prayer and supplication and dedication and consecration. That's where I got my salt to begin with. That's where the salt will always be.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I am in desperate need of you. I've got to change. So many people are not willing to look at themselves and say, Lord, I'm not salty enough. I want to be salty for this world. I want to be a divine influence that people know when they come in contact with me that I have been with Jesus, that I had a relationship with Him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you try to put new salt on corrupted salt, you'll only dilute the purity and the potency of the salt. You hear me? I said, if you try to put in the old or the new salt on top of the old salt, all you're going to do is dilute and to pollute the salt. You got to start anew. But hey, here's the awesome thing. We serve a God of new beginnings. I said we serve a God of new beginnings. And He can again and afresh put the salt in us there. Because you see, by what He said, if He did not do this, we couldn't even be saved. He said, how can salt be regained saltiness? It has to be by the divine. It has to be by the touch of God. It's nothing anything man can do. It has to be by the touch of God. Praise God. We've got to go back and get into the place that we did in the original. Jesus said this, go back and do your first works over.
Amen.
Go back and do what you first did. And that's what I'm simply trying to say tonight. Is that I confronted myself in the reality beyond my own personal situation. And I said, Lord, it's time to do the first works. And the first works is to recognize and to come clean and say, Lord, I'm not going to deny this. I'm not going to be self-deceived. I'm going to say, Lord, I've got to step up. I've got to be saltier than what I was yesterday. I'm not happy with the salt that I had yesterday. I've got to be more for you. I've got to be more for the kingdom. I've got to be more for righteousness with the salt that only you can give. And it cannot be mine. Because it's only self-righteousness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah to God. Would you stand to your feet? 2 Corinthians, as you stand, I'll close with this verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 3 and 2. You're our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency. Come on, say it with me. But our sufficiency. Say it again. But our sufficiency is of God. That's where the salt's coming from. Our sufficiency is of God. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you tonight for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the challenge that you presented me, oh God. Lord, if no one else, God, wants this, I desire this because, Lord, I want to take a step up like I've never been in all my life. Lord, I want to consecrate higher to higher heights and deeper depths. I want you to help me, Lord, to stay mindful of the fact that I can always stand to have a little more saltiness in my life. And that the more that I'm with you, the more that I'm with you, the more that they're going to sense the Master. They're going to sense the great God of heaven that loves them. They need, oh Lord, to feel your love. They need to feel your grace. They need to feel your compassion. They need to feel your mercy, oh God. Lord, the Bible says, our word, precious word you've given us, says we're ambassadors for you. So Lord, as ambassadors, we just simply want to be at our best. We don't want to bring a shame and a reproach on your name. And we don't want to fail to represent you well. We want to be the ambassadors that you call us to be. My Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us, Lord, ingrain that into our spirit, O God. O God, if there's anything about us that's not pleasing to you, would you bring it to our attention, Lord? Would you help us? Would you make us aware? Guide us to you, Lord, and close to you. Bring us close to you, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. I want to say one last thing of admonishment before we dismiss you. We are, the evangelist will be with us Sunday. And I would hope that we would continue it, even though revival has closed out. I would hope that we would consider it even a part of revival. That we would come together with a lot of fervor and a lot of effort and a lot of passion and a lot of zeal for the work of God to see what God will do.
Yes.
This Sunday. Do you agree with me?
Amen.
Let's do it together in Jesus' name. Lord, bless you in Jesus' name.